Welcome to the relaunch of Grace Junkies. This is a project that I have been thinking about and praying about for quite a while, and wanted to just give a brief introduction into what this relaunch is and what it's going to be about. It is an experiment, basically. It is an experiment of me trying to give speech to much of the study that I've been doing over the past couple of years. And I wanted to do it in this way before I moved into just personal discussions. My goal here is to actually have some type of class with teenagers or high school students to give them some ammunition, so to speak, or some foundational foundational knowledge of apologetics before entering college. The reason for doing this is threefold. One, my personal experience, and that is that when I left this small town that I currently live in, where I was raised, I was not prepared by my local church to give answers to questions concerning my faith when they were brought up, and I only went to college 20 miles away, and I still lived at home, and yet that college, the experiences in that college challenged me to the point that I never gave up my faith, but it was essentially worthless in my life. I mean, it served no practical purpose other than to say, yes, I am still a Christian. Yes, I still believe in God. No, I don't have any reasons for that. And it's just, you know, no, I'm sorry. I know it's ridiculous, but I still do it. So that's pretty much the way it was. Plus, it did not affect my life, which left me rudderless in a world that that can be quite dangerous in. So that's one, just my experience. Two, I feel challenged to do so, not only through because of my experience. I don't think that, let me make something clear here, I don't think that everybody who leaves home and goes to college this will happen to. However, I have learned through my studies that it does happen quite a bit, shockingly a lot. There's like 75% of students that go off to college will experience a crisis of faith. 75% of Christian students who go off to college will experience a crisis of faith within a couple of years. And the number for students that don't go to college, for Christian students who do not go to college but just simply enter the workforce, is much lower. Like 35%, at least in the first couple of years. And I don't know why that is. As far as the difference there, but some studies have brought that forth. So there, I feel that there is a need, and that my experience is at least, not that remarkable, I guess, or not that unordinary. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Unordinary. So I would like. So that's sort of my. So experience. I think that there's a need. That's my second reason. My third reason is that I feel called to do it. Now, that's one thing that I'm still praying about. As far as being called to do this apologetics in a, you know, ministry type of thing, and the reason why I'm still praying about it is because I'm not sure that my calling is just not a need to regurgitate things that I've learned. I mean, I have spent the last, I would say, at least 2 years specifically studying apologetics in a layman's way, just not really in any sort of official way as far as entering a college or taking actual courses. I have audited several classes and lectures and read a lot of books, listened to a lot of books on audio as I'm driving back and forth to work. And this has served to really answer a lot of questions. That happened fairly quickly. Answer a lot of questions that I had experienced in my life that I'd had no answer for before. And second, it shored up my faith in a very real way. But what I want to continue to pray about through this experience of the Grace Junkies website is is this truly a calling, or is it just a fleshly need to regurgitate what I've learned to make sure that I've learned it? You know what I mean? Now, this new launch of Grace Junkies is not really designed to gain a lot of audience. I am not really looking to entertain you or present this material in a way that would draw you or draw an audience. I want that kind of to be said up front. However, because it's going to be, if it's boring, it's going to be boring. The main purpose of this is that, can I express these things, and I'll be going back and listening to myself, and can I express these things in a way that is cogent and in a way that is confident, and can I put them together logically? I'm not doing a lot of preparation for the shows. I want to pull from, I don't know, I'll have a subject I want to talk about, and then I want to pull from the knowledge I've been studying the last couple of years to present that topic. And I want to see if I can do that, because I need to be able to do that before I enter into actual ministry, you know, in front of students. I don't know how long this will last or how many shows it will be. I guess just until I feel confident that it's working or it's not working and I need to try something different. However, if you do listen to this show, I would very much appreciate any feedback, especially negative, especially challenges to things I say. But encouragement is also appreciated as well. I will also be giving lots of references to places you can actually go and sort of get the real deal. I'm going to be presenting what I've learned, but my point here is to then direct you to where I've learned them so that you can get the source. I mean, one of the principles that I've learned over the last couple of years and what I'm trying to instill in my daughter, and I think is important to instill in students, is this need to go back to the source. Find out what originally was said in the Constitution, for instance, or in the Bible, for instance. I think these are very, I think these are things that either on purpose or by accident are being used in our culture today, in the postmodern culture, that we'll talk about what the Constitution says. We won't actually tell you what it says. We will talk about what, and you can see this on the news today, we'll talk about what the president said, but we're not actually going to tell you what he said. We're going to talk about what Rush Limbaugh said, but we're not going to actually play what he said. I mean, you know, we're only going to play such a small snippet that makes our point, not give it in context. And that's why you need to really go back to the source every time, no matter what it is, whether it's the Bible, the Constitution, or quoting a politician or just a media person. I think it's important for us to go back and not take what we're designed to take from it, but actually, you know, go back and make our own opinions about what's going on and what was presented. So I want to do that in my work as well, and present you not only with what I have learned from it, but the actual source. So there will be, I hope, some value to these shows if you happen to be listening to them. And that is that main value, not will be what I say about what I've learned, but the listing of the bibliography, so to speak, or the listing of where I have learned these things and who actually is teaching them and who actually is writing these books, so that you can go back to those sources. Now, so apologetics, that's sort of the subject that I want to center this podcast around. So I think in this introduction, I will briefly go over what apologetics is and how it is used and how it should not be used. I think that apologetics simply means the defense of the faith. Not in a literal sense of the word. The word means answer or defense. It's from the Greek. It's used in the Bible specifically. You can look at 1 Peter 3:15, where here I have it here. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and in fear." I think that just taking the word apologetics out of there, The apologetics word there in the Greek is to give an answer, that word answer there. Some translations, well, that's the King James Version, some translations will put defense there. But I think even taking the word apologetics simply in that verse out of context and just saying we have to give a defense for what we believe, that's not what it says. You have to read it in the context of the statement of how it's being used there. And I think that's important as you study apologetics, that this is not a license to go argue and pick fights with people. It simply says that you are to give an answer or give a defense. That doesn't mean attack somebody else. That means defend the faith when it needs to be defended. When people have questions, it is important to give them an answer. And I think that for a long time, that was not taught. You were searching for an experience, and I think this is very much the postmodern influence on our. Religion, or not religion, because that's a whole other subject, but on Christianity and on the way we present Christianity. And I think the evangelical movement, even though it was good, I think the evangelical movement had a lot of positive things to it. But one of the negative things is that it focused on the experience and not enough on some of the principles involved. And they're very, very well needs to be an experience, or in evangelicalism has its place, and I think apologetics has its place too. Both, I think, can be perverted, so to speak, or relied on too heavily. Neither one of them encompasses what the Bible teaches. You can't just teach all you need is to say the word "I love Jesus" and everything is going to be fine. That's all you ever need in this life. You need the principles that he taught. Jesus said himself, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And those are for our own good, by the way. So I think that focusing on the experience, like the evangelicals or like evangelicalism often does, had some bad consequences. And one of those was, these challenges to faith not having an answer. And the scientists and even historians, I mean, the challenges came, when I went to college, the challenges came from all corners, from almost of academia, almost every class. It was like the teachers got together and said, what are you going to say today about Christianity that will cause doubt in the kids' minds? And I had no answers built in. I had no principles to fall back on to say, oh, you know what they're doing there? They're doing this. Or, there is an answer to that question. Not that I needed to be able to tell the teacher that, but I needed it for myself. I needed to defend the faith. I needed to have a reason for my hope. And I didn't. I didn't have any real reasons except for my experience. And luckily, I never let go of that. That one experience, but it still didn't help me for several years. I was, like I said, drifting aimlessly on a sea of rationale and postmodernism. Okay, back to my subject. And this is one of the reasons I want to do this, because I need to be able to stay on subject. But apologetics is this giving of a defense. It can also be leaned upon too heavily. As my good friend Scott Roche points out, it is not the gospel. Okay? We are to be preaching the gospel. The gospel? The gospel. And apologetics is really not the gospel. It is, and when you study apologetics, there seems to be this drawing into it that it is all you need. All you need is these great principles and these great ways to defend the faith and these great arguments, and they'll answer all your questions. It's not true. You can't get saved by apologetics. Only the Holy Spirit can save you through the work of Jesus Christ. And so there needs to be this balance, and it needs to be made clear, not just in this introduction, but anytime apologetics is used, it needs to be, I think, needs to be made clear that, hey, here are the answers to your questions, but ultimately, this is a matter between you and Jesus Christ. You need, and it always needs to point back to Jesus Christ. And if it doesn't, then you're not using apologetics correctly, because it needs to, in one sense of the word, it needs to go back into evangelical. It needs to go back into a preaching of the gospel. Let's be specific that way, because the word evangelical brings a lot of connotations with it. So even though you're going to use apologetics, it needs to flow back, or the conversation, the points, the principles of apologetics in the way I look at it and the way it's used in the Bible, is that it needs to go back towards Christ. It always, you know, your conversations and apologetics need to go back towards Christ. And so that's, to me, what apologetics is: defense of the faith, principles that are given by the Bible, that can answer your questions. And we'll go into the details of these later. I'm just brief introduction of what this is and what it's for. And I will wish to equip students. I want to become good enough at this to equip Christians. Again, this is not really to go save people, but to equip Christians to defend the faith when they go off to college. And that's ultimately my goal in doing this. I hope that it serves that purpose. I hope that, and I pray that the Lord uses this for His will and for His good. I look forward to talking to you again, if indeed anyone is there. And if you need to get in contact with me, you can do so at brad.mcfadden@gmail.com. Please put in your subject line, Grace Junkies. That will keep it from going to, you know, spam, or and make sure that it gets to the top of the list. Thank you very much. Vayas con Dios. Okay, this is an addendum to show number one, the introduction. And one of the things that I wanted to be sure that I did was, as I move forward, is to give you a list of resources. It's one of the most, I think, important things. It's one of the principles that I've learned through this study of apologetics, and is a good principle that I try to teach Helen and anybody that'll listen. And that is to go back to the sources, see what was actually said, whether, you know, in this... In this culture, I'll talk more about postmodernism in detail later. But it's one of the aspects of this culture that a lot of times we talk about what somebody said. We don't actually report what they said, or we give a snippet of what they said that fits our perceived view of what they meant. And it's always good to go back to those sources. And if there's, especially since this is a layman's take, and I have no degrees or official status, I think it's very important for me to always continue to give the resources for what I'm saying. And that includes the scriptures and also the authors and such. So I didn't do that in the first show, in the very first introduction. So I want to do that now, at the end of the show. First of all, the websites that I've used to kind of define what apologetics means to me, one of the really great apologetics resource websites is CARM, C-A-R-M, and you can find that at carm.org. And that stands for Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. And there's lots of videos there. There's articles. There's books, lists of books that you can just a wealth of information there to get really deep into apologetics. Another one is Apologetics Resource Center, and that is ARC, which of course stands for, yeah, Apologetics Resource Center, arcapologetics.org, and I'll put these links in the show notes. And I've also learned quite a bit from iTunes University, and I just went in there and put in apologetics, and there were several classes in there from Liberty University and other universities. There was one from a Lutheran university. I forget what the name of that one was, but there's several courses in there that have been videotaped, the professors, so you can actually audit the class and you can sit in and participate. Listen and hear their lectures and get their references and bibliographies on what they're saying. So just a wealth of information there. I liked that because I could carry it with me. Another one that I liked because I could carry it with me is Apologetics 315. Now, this is apologetics315.blogspot.com, and this is run by Brian. I'm not sure Brian's last name. I'm sure at some point I've known it. I think he does several interviews, but just looking now, I couldn't find it readily. He's not about promoting himself. It's very much a collection of the best apologetic audio he can find. It's debates, it's book reviews, it's just simple podcasts of apologetic professors and authors talking about different subjects and lectures, whatever he can find. And he just puts together a great just wealth of information on apologetics at apologetics315.blogspot.com. And especially if you're just into listening, which I am, because I'm in the car so often. So that has been very helpful to me. He also has a list of recommended books there and a lot of interviews with the authors. So it is a good resource for that as well. Well, that's the list of pretty much where I found 90%. I mean, those are the starting places for where I pretty much found 99% of the information that I've been studying over the last 2 years. Those are the four places that have led me to all the other places. The book that I would that really started all this, and there's several books that I've listened to on audio and so on, but one of the main ones was Love the Lord Your God with All Your Mind. I mean, that's sort of the book that started this sort of investigation of apologetics. And it was written by J.P. Moreland, and it's very good. And in there, he references a lot of studies and things that are sort of commentaries or examples, or however you want to look at it, statuses of today's culture, the postmodern culture, and why apologetics is so important in today's culture. So there you have it. And there it is. I look forward to my next talk. I think my next talk is going to be over the three stages of Western culture and how we view truth through those three stages, or how we have viewed truth through those three stages. Approached truth, I guess, is a better way to say it. All right. Well, vayas con Dios again.